By Saturday morning, whatever he might have told Hermione, Harry would have gladly exchanged all the Felix Felicis in the world to be walking down to the Quidditch pitch with Ron, Ginny, and the others. It was almost unbearable to turn away from the mass of students streaming out into the sunshine, all of them wearing rosettes and hats and brandishing banners and scarves, to descend the stone steps into the dungeons and walk until the distant sounds of the crowd were quite obliterated, knowing that he would not be able to hear a word of commentary or a cheer or groan. "Ah, Potter," said Snape, when Harry had knocked on his door and entered the unpleasantly familiar office that Snape, despite teaching floors above now, had not vacated. It was as dimly lit as ever, and the same slimy dead objects were suspended in coloured potions all around the walls. Ominously, there were many cobwebbed boxes piled on a table where Harry was clearly supposed to sit. They had an aura of tedious, hard, and pointless work about them. "Mr. Filch has been looking for someone to clear out these old files," said Snape softly. "They are the records of other Hogwarts wrongdoers and their punishments. Where the ink has grown faint, or the cards have suffered damage from mice, we would like you to copy out the crimes and punishments afresh, and, making sure that they are in alphabetical order, replace them in the boxes. You will not use magic." "Right, Professor," said Harry, with as much contempt as he could put into the last three syllables. "I thought you could start," said Snape, a malicious smile on his lips, "with boxes 1012 to 1056. You will find some familiar names in there which should add interest to the task. Here, you see." He pulled out a card from one of the topmost boxes with a flourish and read, "James Potter and Sirius Black, apprehended using an illegal hex upon Bertram Aubrey. Aubrey's head, twice normal size. Double detention." Snape sneered. "It must be such a comfort to think that though they are gone, a record of their great achievements remains." Harry felt the familiar boiling sensation in the pit of his stomach. Biting his tongue to prevent himself retaliating, he sat down in front of the boxes and pulled one toward him. It was, as Harry had anticipated, useless, boring work, punctuated, as Snape had clearly planned, with the regular jolt in the stomach that meant he had just read his father or Sirius's names, usually coupled together in various petty misdeeds, occasionally accompanied by those of Remus Lupin and Peter Pettigrew. And while he copied out all their various offences and punishments, he wondered what was going on outside, where the match would have just started, Ginny playing Seeker against Cho. Harry glanced again and again at the large clock ticking on the wall. It seemed to be moving half as fast as a regular clock. Perhaps Snape had bewitched it to go extra slowly. He could not have been here for only half an hour. An hour? An hour and a half? Harry's stomach started rumbling when the clock showed 12:30. Snape, who had not spoken at all since setting Harry his task, finally looked up at 1:10. "I think that will do," he said coldly. "Mark the place you have reached. You will continue at 10:00 next Saturday." "Yes, sir." Harry stuffed a bent card into the box at random and hurried out of the door before Snape could change his mind, racing back up the stone steps, straining his ears to hear a sound from the pitch. But all was quiet. It was over then. He hesitated outside the crowded great hall, then ran up the marble staircase. Whether Gryffindor had won or lost, the team usually celebrated or commiserated in their own common room. "Quid, Argis?" he said tentatively to the fat lady, wondering what he would find inside. Her expression was unreadable as she replied, "You'll see," and she swung forward. A roar of celebration erupted from the hole behind her. Harry gaped as people began to scream at the sight of him. Several hands pulled him into the room. "We won!" yelled Ron, bounding into sight and brandishing the silver cup at Harry. "We won! 450 to 140! We won!" Harry looked around. There was Ginny running toward him. She had a hard, blazing look in her face as she threw her arms around him, and without thinking, without planning it, without worrying about the fact that 50 people were watching, Harry kissed her. After several long moments, or it might have been half an hour, or possibly several sunlit days, they broke apart. The room had gone very quiet. Then several people wolf whistled, and there was an outbreak of nervous giggling. Harry looked over the top of Ginny's head to see Dean Thomas holding a shattered glass in his hand, and Romilda Vane looking as though she might throw something. Hermione was beaming, but Harry's eyes sought Ron. At last he found him, still clutching the cup and wearing an expression appropriate to having been clubbed over the head. For a fraction of a second they looked at each other. Then Ron gave a tiny jerk of the head that Harry understood to mean, "Well, if you must." The creature in his chest roaring in triumph, he grinned down at Ginny and gestured wordlessly out of the portrait hole. A long walk in the grounds seemed indicated, during which, if they had time, they might discuss the match.